Welcome to Ada's Team Podcast. Today we chat with someone who works in cybersecurity. She talks about what led her to engineering from high school to graduation, how to network, and internships and clubs. Welcome, Dorsa.
Hi, Grace. So as you mentioned, my name is Dorsa. I graduated from computer engineering and I started working at Google as a security engineer.
So what made you get into the discipline of engineering, specifically technical software, cybersecurity?
The funny answer I like to tell at interviews, because everyone loves asking that question at different interviews. When I was growing up, I used to watch a lot of NCIS Los Angeles. Eric, he was always behind a computer and he made it look really, really cool. He would tell all the agents what to do, where to go, and he was hacking into different databases, getting all sorts of different information. And I found that very, very interesting. So that is the story I tell at different interviews to make the interviewer laugh. The real story is that after I graduated high school, I had two offers, one from University of Waterloo for nanotechnology honors. And I also had another offer from University of Alberta for engineering. My family and I just decided it's a little bit too early for me to move out, and it was just nicer for me to be closer to home. So I went into engineering at University of Alberta. And the way engineering at University of Alberta is that you don't really pick a specialization until your second year, which was really nice. It gives you a really good opportunity to explore different topics, different fields before you really settle on one. And for me, ultimately, it came down to my mom. She suggested I should go into computer engineering since it's a growing field. And since herself struggled a lot as being a female minority and being in a civil engineering field, she suggested I go into a newer field. We settled on computer engineering with a focus on nanoscale design, so we were both happy.
Dorsa, how was your transition from high school to university?
My first year, this is where my story is different, is that people actually struggled in first semester, but I wasn't struggling at all. It was actually very easy and I wasn't doing much and I was getting good grades. And that was my point of failure because I got too proud of myself. I committed to too many volunteering positions and my GPA just went lower and lower and lower. But honestly, if you ask me, do I have any regrets? I would say no, because throughout those volunteering positions, I learned so, so much. And it was really nice to network with so many different people, learn from their experiences, present an idea and how to make people believe in your ideas. So for people who are coming from high school, there's no such thing as failing. Failing is just you not trying, in my opinion. So if you don't try new experiences, if you're not doing different things, whether that's extracurricular, whether that's volunteering or, you know, specialized clubs, that's when you're failing. You not getting like a 3.0, 4.0 is not failing.
So these volunteering roles that were impactful to you, how did you get involved and what was your first or favorite club / volunteering role?
Funny you say that. Again, like definitely a different case when it came to me. Before university started, I started talking to this guy named Thomas and he was telling me all about General Faculty Council, Students Union. So this is probably like August of 2015. Before I started university, I already know about all these different clubs on campus. I'm ready to go to get like involved in as many clubs as possible. Career fair was a really good opportunity too, where I got to learn about different clubs and I found them really interesting to meet very cool people. Honestly, my memory is a little bit foggy about what was the first club I joined, but it was definitely something with the Students Union where I was advocating on behalf of engineering. I also very early on started helping out and volunteering with the Engineering Student Society, which, you know, puts on different events for the whole engineering faculty, so 4,000 students. And this, in my second or third year, I became the vice president of services, where me and my co-vice president, we introduced new initiatives in mentorship programs, peer-assisted study sessions, and just, you know, created new volunteering opportunities for the students. One thing that did happen was at some point I found myself being involved in 6 or 7 clubs, and that was taxing. But I mean, it gave me the answer to what is your greatest weakness when it comes to the interviews now. What is your greatest weakness? I have to say, I don't know when to say no to an opportunity, because in my eyes, every opportunity is a good opportunity.
What was your favorite type of role?
I think I just love leadership positions, just knowing that I can create some sort of difference. So my favorite was the Faculty of Engineering, their academic committee. And really there, I found that I could create a lot of difference. And I loved it so much that I was on that committee for a couple of years. And, you know, just being able to advocate for different needs of engineering students, it was really powerful. And I think I started on it when I was in my second year. So early in my university journey, I was able to feel empowered enough to talk and raise concerns that the students had. So that would be my favorite volunteering opportunity.
You definitely do a wonderful job in leadership roles. And that's great to hear that you were able to advocate for people early on, because yeah, you definitely do not have to be in your upper years to do that.
Yeah. I want to talk about a little bit of Ada's team as well and how I became involved with Ada's team. This is a really good moment to just like talk about being strategic when it comes to volunteering throughout your university life. So for example, in early on in your university, it might make sense to just be in a club or in a committee that touches a lot more students than it would be later on in your career. So starting with Students Union, starting with Engineering Student Society, or you know, the equivalent of it in the sciences faculty. But here's one thing I learned, and maybe this is like a good lesson learned for whoever is listening to this podcast, is that every time I went to a conference, every time I was networking, they would keep asking me, what about computer engineering club? What about comp sci club? Or, you know, something that's related to your field. Why haven't you done that? And I never had a good answer for that. And Ada's team was ultimately a very strategic move on my behalf, because I wanted something that was related to computers and that field and connected me to the people in that industry. And I think if you are early in your university degree, keep that in mind. It's okay to try different things earlier in your university life, but as you approach the end of it, make sure whatever clubs you're joining, you are really benefiting and you are doing that to further, you know, your future and your career. And also, like, not all of the reasons for joining Ada's team was selfish. I really did think I could bring new opportunities for the members. Prior to that, I had gone to many Coffee and Code events and I found them very, very interesting and informative. And I wanted to bring bigger companies to Ada's team. So for example, while I was there, I brought Microsoft, I brought Google and DeepMind. You get the point. By putting myself in that position and by forcing myself to reach out to those industry people, I basically created new opportunities for myself in the future.
Sure. So the first time I went to a Coffee and Code, back when you were the industry outreach for Ada's team, and I was just attending Coffee and Codes before I became a part of Ada's team, I thought that you were working for Google the way you spoke with such poise, but I found out you were a student at the time. It's funny because now you do work for Google.
So I do remember when you messaged me on LinkedIn and I was like, yes, I am so glad you liked that workshop. I hope you come to more. So people like you make that experience a lot more enjoyable.
Yes, thank you for being so welcoming, Dorsa. Let's switch to internships. I guess we can start with, what was your first internship?
Yeah, so with engineering, I think your first internship is right after your second year. And my first internship was just a research assistant position at University of Alberta. And at the time, I was obsessed with the mechanical engineering discipline and their profs and everything they did, and you know, mechatronics and robotics and everything. So it made sense for my first, you know, internship to be in mechanical engineering. And I didn't learn much, but it was still a really cool experience, and ultimately it did help me get more research opportunities later on in my career. And it's always something that I can say that I've done. And it was just a cool experience. My second internship was at Teck, which is a mining company. And I have to tell you, as a computer engineering student, that's not the most fun place to work at. But I gotta say, I learned a lot about myself and I developed a lot personally. And I think that's a really important lesson too, that sometimes it's not just about professional development, but it's also about personal development. And in the case of Tech, I learned I do like small cities, but I guess not as small as Sparwood, which is 4,000 people and it's really, really small. And then my last internship was at Intuit in San Diego, California, which as a person who's traveled to Europe, Asia, I gotta say, like, San Diego is the best place on earth. So if you ever hear that Dorsa is retiring in San Diego, you know Dorsa's happy.
Or you might not even hear of it. You might just be there.
Exactly. Dorsa's going to be in a happy place by the beach, and it's going to be great. But yeah, so that was the first time I was actually able to ever give myself some validity when it came to security. Prior to that, I always said I'm very passionate about security. And in this industry, passion can only get you so far. You actually have to show them why you're passionate and what you have done with your passion. So I was able to get involved with the security and the fraud team, both as a software engineer and as a product manager. So again, this wasn't just, you know, professionally like, oh, I've learned these new Java coding stuff, but I also learned product management and how that is as a profession.
Cybersecurity engineer, product manager, it seems like you can do anything.
Stop it.
Since you said you like leadership roles, why did you choose being a security engineer rather than being a product manager?
So I did try to get into product management for a while, and I tried to like do another internship as a product manager, but I didn't pass any of the interviews, unfortunately or fortunately. I think ultimately what I realized is that once you become a product manager, a lot of them do lose touch with the technical side, unless, you know, you're a technical program manager or a product manager. I don't think it's, you know, good for me or beneficial for me to lose touch with the technical side so early in my, you know, actual career.
So how is it working for Google?
It's really hard to wrap my brain around the fact that I'm not going back to school, at least not for a while. Because with internships, you know, you have an expiry. You know, this is going to be over in a couple months or so. It's a full-time position now, and I'm committed to this position, and I'm committed to advancing in this position. So that's a different part. It's been really good to me. I love my manager, and it's really nice to know what a supporting manager looks like. I love my coworkers. They're very supporting. They're always there if I ever need help. I gotta say, there has not been a moment at Google that I've said, oh, I know how to do this. I never know how to do anything there. And I say that in the most positive way because I'm constantly learning new topics. I'm constantly trying to advance my technical knowledge. And I think that's really, really valuable. I'm never comfortable. And that's what you want early in your career. You never want to be comfortable.
What has been your favorite memory working there so far?
Flew to Las Vegas for a conference called DEF CON. Exactly 8 months where I just stared at their faces on my screen and didn't really know how tall they were, how they acted outside of the work environment. And it was really cool to just get to know them on a more personal level. And from then, every time we like video call, it's just a lot easier to just talk to them though.
What do you think about grad school? Would you like to do grad school?
Yeah, so I had an offer from University of Waterloo to attend graduate studies in cybersecurity, and I had an offer from Google. Realistically, I can probably get another graduate studies offer. I just didn't know if I could do Google ever again, just because of how taxing the interviews are and how long they took. So I definitely am thinking about grad school at some point into the future. I think it's going to be really valuable. It'd be really cool to pursue my passion of cybersecurity further and do my own research in that topic. One thing I was worried, and I asked so many profs, is that if I were out of university, would it be hard for me to come back to it and, you know, start graduate studies? And every time I actually heard a positive thing about it, everyone said, if you leave, the university settings, go work for a couple of years, a prof will actually find that more valuable because now you know what you want in security. Now you're there because you actually want to be there, and you're not just doing that because you don't have anything else to do. So if you are, you know, at the end of your undergrad and you're presented with a good offer, honestly, just take it. There's no harm in that. But I want to also say grad school is something that you should really do out of passion. Ultimately, getting a master's degree or a PhD degree is not really going to raise your salary by a lot. It's just going to allow you to pursue your passion in that, not like that area and that field. So make sure you're doing grad school. That what are the requirements to enter grad school? So right now, as we talk right now, the last 2 years GPA is what it matters. So just make sure you keep your doors open, get a decent enough GPA for those last 2 years full course load, that if you ever decide to go back to grad school, you're not closing any doors for yourself.
Dorsa, how do you build a strong network?
One way to build a good network, and I heard this very early in my career, so first or second year of university, I was told to make a business card. I know, that sounds ridiculous. That was my reaction to a business card. What am I? Who do you think I am? And honestly, it's as simple as putting your name, so Dorsa, and your phone number, 780 blah, blah, blah. And that's it. And I did that. And I actually, that opened a lot of doors for me. Every time I went to a conference and I felt like I didn't have anything to say, I would just take out my business card, and on the back of it, I had an eye. So just imagine the shape of an eye, and with a bunch of binary numbers. So for whoever doesn't know what binary numbers are, it's just a bunch of ones and zeros. And I would just start talking about the back of it, and I would ask the person, hey, what do you think the back of this says? And, you know, they say something, and I say, no, it actually says, please hire me in binary. And we would just laugh about it. And, you know, it would just be a really, really fun time. It eased the conversation, and they had something to remember me by, and it was great. So that was one of the best piece of advice that I got back in my first or second year at university. Another thing is to, this is gonna sound funny, go grab someone from the business faculty, because they know how to talk. They really do. And go to a career fair with them. Either let them introduce you, or just let them talk and listen. Listen how they sell themselves, because they know how to sell. Most of them, at least. The good ones, at least. I'm kidding. They really do. And that's how you learn how to sell yourself and what to say and how to, you know, be quick on your feet. Another advice I can have is to, you know, join clubs like Ada's team. Stay back when the workshops are over and talk to the speaker. We actually got to meet really, really cool people from Google back when Google came to campus about 2 years ago. And they're awesome and they're so supporting. And when I joined Google, they always had my back and they helped me out with so many different things. It is really great. So make sure you stay back, you network with the speakers, add them on LinkedIn, talk to them. I think that's how you can build a good network, which can serve you once you're graduated. And one thing I want to tell you is that honestly, a good person in your network can get you so much further than a 4.0 on your GPA. So having someone, not to brag, but having someone like me in your network will be a really good opportunity. Because if I know my friends are looking for, you know, a job, I'm constantly keeping my eye out for them. I'm sending them job postings and making sure I'm helping them with their resumes. And I'm saying that me, but like there were people who did that for me while I was going through my journey. One other thing is that, you know how your profs put up office hours? They're usually empty. And those are such a great opportunity to just go sit back and chat with your prof in, you know, non-professional manner, non-academic related manner. I'm on first name basis with so many profs that it's just kind of funny. Sometimes I actually forget their last names. And having those profs in your network is really helpful because they are connected to industry people, they're connected to academic people. So down the road, if you want to do grad school, they can always help you out with finding a prof. If you're in need of a job at the end of your degree, they might ultimately be someone who can connect you with another, you know, industry professional. So make sure you are actually, you know, taking advantage of the profs on campus as well.
Well, thank you so much, Dorsa. I hope everyone listening learned something.
Thank you, Grace, for having me.